Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, folks, and my name's Tony and I'm in New Zealand. And today I'm talking to a returning guest, second time on the show, someone who is just known as Jeremy, an ex-32nd degree Freemason. It's great to be talking to you again, Jeremy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You also, Tony.
And maybe you'd like to just recap very briefly a little bit of what we covered last time, who you are and so on.
Sure. I come from a family that have always been in Freemasonry and mostly in Shriners and Eastern Star, the women, back as far as I know of. Great aunts, great uncles, cousins, just really deep there. And was pretty much, I guess, groomed for it, knowing I'd be a part of it. And I joined, spent about a decade and a half in it, and saw the way it was steering toward Lucifer and Antichrist, everything, really, and being pretty much brainwashed. And then finding the truth of Jesus Christ and changing my life for Him and getting out of it and attempting to get my family and friends out of it and anyone, really, and trying to do the right thing and make up for some of the bad that I done in it. And I want to let people know about what it really is that are in it that haven't gone up that far yet or that are thinking about joining it. I went to the 32nd degree in the Scottish Rite, and I just think people should know the truth about it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so we've got more to cover today. What topics are you sort of wanting to really get across?
Well, I thought we should discuss what Freemasons see to come, the way it's going to come, this one new world, and some of the events that's happened today that I didn't discuss last time. And I didn't want to go too deep about some subjects because it's pretty crazy. And the few people that I've got into a dialogue with about it, just I could see them not really believing it, but I would think your audience could easily see it. And there's a big topic about fallen angels and Nephilim that I didn't discuss last time either. That's actually very important. I knew not to dive into it because we didn't have enough time when I thought about it. And when I mentioned the bloodline and I was talking about my family, and I said, I believe there's something there that's not being saved, that's maybe pushing you toward joining this or participating in any caliber of worshiping Lucifer, the devil, witchcraft, whatever it is. I believe it's part of that. And they let you know that, but letting you know that, you know, what's in you is bringing you to the light. Of course, you know, in a positive manner.
Just letting people know, we've been having a bunch of technical difficulties with Skype and computer issues at Jeremy's end, which is a little frustrating, but we'll just continue the best we can. Now, Jeremy, what more can you tell us then about the Nephilim and fallen angels and how Freemasons see them?
Okay, the Nephilim, it's actually a big part of Freemasonry, as they believe that the Nephilim or the fallen angel, or they just say angel, angelic, DNA is still, they believe, in your body and is dormant. And they believe it can be reactivated. Like, for example, I mentioned I went to this small lodge for years, and the larger one was a few counties away, the Scottish Rite. It was not close, so I only went once a month, but it was a large lodge. And this is where the more important people, there was a congressman and a senator and former congressman and senator. And so deep dialogues was held there. And this is where I've heard a lot of what I'm going to discuss tonight. They were discussing once, and this come up several times as they were repeating it to other people, trying to convince them about this DNA in their body, that evidently this was a fact. They had some material on it, but I don't know. There was a dog that had been cloned, and this dog had the same, the original dog, I guess it knew such special tricks and it was able to do such special things that would have stood out. And, I mean, this has been, you know, 12 or 13 years ago, so stretching my memory, but this clone dog did these tricks and had these traits, and they're telling you that your conscience and your DNA, that it was carried on to that dog. And they're saying that these fallen or these angels, they believe that when they're in bodies on this planet in what would be the end time, I guess what most people say, the tribulation, they believe that those bodies will animate and be these angels and be the entire personality. And the people that carry this gene, this DNA gene, they believe that also that these angels will be able to personally, I believe, possessed, but to communicate and guide them and garbage like that, they say. But they believe that these fallen angels, or these angels did come in the beginning. And these are those angels that I mentioned last time that they believe created Earth. They believe that, and I'm stretching my memory, but I believe they called them Ophaim. I believe started with an O. And they believe that they, like I said before, used God's voice or tone to do it, but he was so busy that this little corner over here, they got away with it. And then when he called them, he punished them for it. But they believe that these angels, like Lucifer, they believe loved us. And that's why they also created, they don't buy into it. They don't say that there were giants and things like that. I think they believe it. And if I'd have went up higher than a 32nd degree, even past 33rd, I may have gotten more knowledge about that. But they believe that there are two races on Earth, and that there have always been two races. And this golden age is where they trace Freemasonry from. They claim they can trace it to Tubal Cain, and that Tubal Cain was a great teacher and taught these subjects that caused the world to experience a golden age. And I know you've probably heard something like that, but when the flood came, it obviously wiped that out, and they believe that those things were stored somewhere and found again, but that the race wasn't wiped out, because that race, which wouldn't have been the original angels, but it would have been their what they created, the beings that they believe they bred with humans, and then that's why it would be mixed in with people, you know, people today. And when I said before, I believe that people with this bloodline veer to a cult of any caliber if you're not saved. I truly believe, and I've heard them say this, that it brings your soul to the light in their eyes, but it brings you, maybe it opens you up more to the fallen realm if you're not saved. I don't know. I believe if you're saved, I don't think none of that would matter. you know, what's in you. And there may not be anybody on earth today that has pure genetics from Adam or Noah. I don't know. But they believe that this bloodline is what is going to rule the world after the one world, the one new world forms. And I'll jump back to that, but I need to discuss this first. With Trump, I remember, and I was really in deep when he started running. And you know, you asked me before what political groups did I see in Freemasonry. And I said it was both just the person who would be perfect white for that area where they live and believe values of that society, but not Jesus. That's the type of person. So they're really both parties, but they believe that, or they said Trump, they 100% knew a conservative was going to win. I don't ever recall hearing them say it's going to be Trump, Trump's going to win. But after it was clear it was only him, they knew it. And this was in the bigger lodge. It was hands down he was going to win. And I said, you know, I remember saying, why? Because everything he's saying is tearing up this liberal view that's stripping down Christian, what's left of that society that's strong. They're tearing it down, which is what they want. And he said to me, and this was a senator, a former senator, they're going to run a conservative that is so conservative and so outspoken that the left, and that's these people who, again, their names are taken. They want to make sure a conservative, this is what I heard then, never gets elected again or has the ability to be elected. They pulled every trick they had. I believe when he ran, when they saw it was going to be him, maybe they knew from the start, I don't know. And then maybe when it was clear, it was just him and Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, were cousins. Maybe it didn't matter, and that's just who they had to go with, but it was clear it was going to be a conservative. And the way that society went crazy, that's exactly what they wanted. And the things that he said and done, and obviously have really turned up the left faction and a lot of people against him, they want to make sure, and they're trying hard, that nobody like him, even a normal conservative, gets back in. And I believe they've done a good job. Now, you know, when I think of the world, these countries, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, and America, I don't think they make mistakes. I think they plan for every scenario, and I think And these are the people that's running it that would be well over Freemasons, but they're still in that religion. I think everything has been orchestrated. Maybe it's, you know, taken different lengths of time than they wanted. I don't know. But this presidency is one thing I can remember from the last major event when I was involved in Scottish Rite. It was clear he was going to get it, or a conservative was going to get it. It was clear. And then with him, it was then clear it was going to be him. And, you know, I thought about that after I left, and it made perfect sense. Obama was so left, and everybody loved him. And he stripped everything down, as much as he could to more socialism, and never made a speech at the university there in Maryland. I think it was Georgetown. And he covered it. He had that IHS covered up. You remember that? Did you know about that? He went to a university and, okay, and had covered up. That was a big deal in Freemasonry. I remember that. And they were clapping and they were amazed that he was doing this. Now, before, when I mentioned that a police officer had joined the lodge and said he believed in Jesus as God, they, and I said that they told him he'd done the right thing and put their arm around him, but he went up, but he didn't go up. The reason they didn't just completely end it with him is they feel if you know Jesus died for you, died for your sins, and you then reject him and hold their light to be true, there's something really big about that. I don't know if, and this sounds crazy, but I don't know if somehow they get benefits from these, from the fallen realm, which I think is very possible. Whatever caliber monetary or but I don't know, but whatever it is, this is the one thing they want the most. If you know who Jesus is and know what he did, they want you bad, and that's why they didn't throw him out. They played him and he just, you know, it was clear that he wasn't gonna do or say any act to be anything negative against Jesus. And so that's when they just, you know, anybody with sense would have left the way he was treated. But these events that's going on now, I mentioned before that they believed there was going to be one event, or that I said, I believe there's going to be one event. And what I've heard is that one event, when everything is ready, and they don't say it like the way I'm saying it. It's like you're standing at the, it's like Senate in session and they're discussing. I mean, it sounds legitimate. When the events, when these different cultures are pushed together, and they obviously hate Islam, but they don't. And there's ties to it with Shriners too, which I'll mention. And another reason, again, I didn't say much about Shriners is it's, that is a deep subject. And to jump on that early would have, some people may have thought I was crazy, but they believe that that's going to help take away this far right and right, or the moral Christians that's left, and these people will be reeducated to believe, not believe that barbarianism or these third world Islamic countries, not to believe it's right, but, and not even to be more accepting of it, but to merge that with their, I don't even want to say heritage, because they want all that gone.
Okay, now I just want to backtrack to Trump for a minute. Back in December 2015, Joni Stahl was told by a Secret Service agent that Donald Trump had been chosen 2 years previously to be the next president of the United States. She was told, absolutely, Trump was chosen at that point. And we actually aired that in January 2016 in an interview I did with Joni Stahl. So that was like 11 months before the election. And from that point on, I pretty much was convinced that Donald Trump was going to be the next president and never really had any doubt about it. And Joni was pretty much the same. And it was actually someone who was in Obama's administration. The Secret Service agent was guarding someone in Obama's administration that actually told Joni that. And so right from the whole way through, neither of us believed Donald Trump was an outsider and all this nonsense. We were fully expecting Donald Trump would be the next president. So really, what you've just shared is added confirmation to what we already suspected and believed, in fact, to be the case.
I'll have to, I'll have to go back and listen to that. I didn't know that. That's something. But you're exactly right. It was easy, but it's portrayed. I believe 100%. He's with them. He's right there with them. I mean, it's obvious that he's the people that's financed him and that he's worked with and Kissinger. I mean, if people can't see that, I mean, you know, yeah, build a little wall and I'm going to help the economy, you know, this is another main thing that I'm sad to say. And it hurts me because, you know, I live in this world too. You hear people, and I see these videos to where, you know, they love Trump, and it's not about Trump, but, and they talk about, well, things are going to change, you're getting better, they're going to change. We're in a time it's not going to happen. The good stuff is gone. And at the point that they believe they're in, which I believe too is that close to the end, things can't get better. I mean, not for us. They can only just continue to benefit that part of society. And, you know, when you told me about Joni Stahl there, that really blew my mind, makes me think it was even more people knew about it than I thought.
Well, the Secret Service agent that told Joni Stahl was actually assigned to John Boehner, who was the Speaker of the House at the time. And he actually said that once his assignment was over, he was going to head off to Belgium and get out of the USA. So, yeah, it was December 2015 when she was told that.
And that's about when I heard that. Yeah, that's about when at the same time, too, yes. I believe... You know, again, that it, you know, if people look at the facts, he's right there with them, and you know, I mean, his everything about him. So I don't think you're going to get to that position, period, if they don't want you there. I just don't think it today. I don't think it's even possible. But the from what I understood, there are two factions of these groups that I don't know that it's the ones that run the world or if who's running the world, they have two different ideas about who's going to. But there's two different groups of people, and I heard this for years, and I know the Catholic Church is involved with one. That is a fact. I mean, hands down, the Catholic Church was discussed ad nauseum when it come to this kind of stuff. So, and when this Pope ran, there was a fella who Tom Horn. I remember seeing it afterward. He came out and said that he thought the Pope was going. They said in Freemasonry that he was going to resign. They didn't say they never said a date to me. But and I'm not saying he's part of that. I just think it's interesting that came from the same, you know. But they said this one, what I heard, was for the next one. Like Trump, you know, he's laying it so the next get in. That's what I heard, that this next one, that Francis was for the next one. And they believe that, and this is another thing I heard him say. And I didn't hear, I never looked this stuff up or listen to it when I was in Freemasonry because I didn't think people knew. And some people knew things, of course, I certainly didn't ever know. But a lot of the things I did, I would hear certain people talk about it. And it wasn't people who left Freemasonry. It was people like him and you know, that researched it. And it blew my mind that the amount of people today know, and yet, you know, which I guess there's really... If we are at that level at the end, what can you do? These events have to fulfill themselves in order for, you know, Christ to come. I mean, I think, you know, there obviously are some things you can do, but I would love to go home, you know. And the rapture.
Yeah, do they believe in a rapture?
They do not believe in a pre-trib rapture. And they believe 100% that the Bible does not state that. And I believe that they found substantial evidence to prove this because of the immense amount of work that they've planned on for after people think one's going to come. They want people to believe that Jesus is not real, or just they know that Jesus is coming, and they believe that the Bible says, and you know, that he's coming at the end. And but there's going to be, people are going to have to go through some stuff. I believe that. And they have always said that. And they want people to think that he left them here, or again, that he's just not real. And that's when this religion of light is going to come out and really start to change the world. I mean, you know, Marxist style. Dictatorship style. And, it says they want to literally, and this, I know this sounds crazy, but this is something I have absolutely heard. They believe Hitler deconsecrated Europe to the Jews by spreading their ashes across Europe and burning them. And I have heard that they want to do that to Jerusalem and to Israel. And they believe that the Bible states there will be human sacrifice. And I know that's deep. And they believe that, I don't know a lot of details on this, but I do know that Islam plays a part, but Judaism plays the biggest part, is what I've heard, for their Messiah. That they believe it has to be that religion, because that, well, this is not how they said it, but this is really how it is, because he can do it better than Jesus. You know, he can be the Jewish Messiah better than Jesus, because that, they believe that's his brother. So, you know, what he's going to do will always be a counterfeit and a fake of what Jesus did.
So when you're saying that, are you meaning that Lucifer will produce the counterfeit?
Yes. The Antichrist, you know, the Antichrist. They believe that the Jewish people will line up for this man, and that he will, I never heard him say he was going to be Jewish, but it's going to play a part in it. So maybe he'll be somebody like Trump, who really favors them and is doing all this stuff, maybe. There is some, you know, a lot of stuff about him that makes you think that it could line up. And I don't mean with him, because it's clear there's somebody after him. That's always been clear. That was always clear. And there, what's next after him, I really believe, from what I've heard, I believe that'll be it. I believe that, when I say it, I mean, I don't think there's going to be another one. I think this one will come in. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. I don't know. And I believe that he will, or this person will somehow, events are going to happen probably that keep him there, but or he makes himself a dictator. I don't know, but that's what I believe from what I've heard. And, you know, everything about this end time is based on this pre-flood, the golden time, everything, or Atlantis, or whatever you want to call it. You know, Atlantis had seven, King, was it seven king? Somehow there was relation there. I may be wrong, but there's so much stuff I've went through over the years with this. It's a wonder I can even hold a normal dialogue. But somehow it related. Maybe it was the mountains or the territories. I don't know. Somehow Atlantis played a big part in these end time scenarios. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the book of Gad, Book of Gad the Seer?
I know a little. I don't know a heck of a lot, except that there's some debate as to whether what's purported to be that Book of Gad the Seer today is actually an authentic document or not. I think the Bible does mention the Book of Gad the Seer, but whether what is purported to be that today is the genuine thing or whether it's a Kabbalistic forgery from later times, I'm not really sure.
That is a book you should absolutely read. It's the Book of Daniel in more detail and in a different light. Daniel says horns. I believe he says feathers. But it's the same thing of the seven and ten. And he says that somehow the territory he used, Edom, or somehow this man who represents God on earth, which is obviously the Pope's going to stand up and join with this group from Arabia, and they'll be the false religion. And the Book of Gad is very important in Freemasonry. The few since our last interview, I went online and just out of curiosity, and I wanted to see if there was anybody else like me, maybe that went to about the same level or was trying to do what I'm trying to do, is help a few people come out, and especially not to go in. And the few people I come across, I am 100% convinced that they are still in Freemasonry, because they would push Christianity out of the way to make it sound like a fairy tale too. And when you hear that, that is absolutely, they're right on cue and people eat it up.
Well, actually, this is one thing that came across in a few comments after your first interview. People were saying, well, how do we know he's genuine? How can we trust anyone that's coming out of Freemasonry, supposedly, because there seems to be so much disinformation being spread. And you're saying that you believe that other Freemasons or supposed Freemasons that have come out of it are actually spreading disinformation and are not the genuine article or genuine defectors from Freemasonry. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely true. But I heard people talk about it that were researching it like yourself, and their topics and conversation about it was extremely accurate, a lot of it. But these other people, they start telling you about all these rituals, you know, they get really into detail. I think I brought up two, the cross spitting, and I only mentioned the, you know, cutting out your tongue and from snush. They really talk about this stuff. That stuff just doesn't matter. I mean, it's useless. I mean, that, you know, I mean, I guess it's interesting for people to know, but they spend the whole time talking about that like that's the big secret or the conspiracy. And then they say, well, you know, Mary is Isis, and you know, Jesus is have you ever heard of Hiram Abiff?
Yes.
And
yes.
Mahabon or Widow's. They'll bring that stuff up, and that stuff is just, I mean, that's easy to find. And that's why I didn't even mention it before, because it's not, I mean, it is important because it goes back to the occult and astrology, but there are more important things that people need to know, like what I've been talking about end times and Lucifer, and Jesus Christ is the only way, I believe in my heart, hearts, and I believe he is who he said he is. He was who he said he was. He did what he said he did, or what everybody said he did, and he said he did. I believe that nobody else can save us. And that's something I don't know that I didn't just fully believe it, but I felt like the more I got involved, you see all this conditioning, all this ancient aliens stuff, and which is really kind of true, because that they were fallen angels that came here. They people can believe that these aliens came here a long time ago on a ship and done all this stuff to dig gold and those Anunnaki stuff, but they can't believe that came from fallen angels And which, you know, it says it in the Bible, which has been there the whole time, you know. So, but I was one of those, you know. I believed that these angels were really angels of light that loved us. And, you know, I believe I never thought anything bad about Jesus. I just didn't. I think he was always there. And you asked me one in that interview, how much did it bother me to turn the other way or not listen when I had to do these things or say these things that were clearly antichrist in nature. And I told you, you know, it got easier. I believe he had, to a degree, turned me over to what I wanted to be, you know, a reprobate mind, basically. If I didn't want him and I wanted this, then you go do this. But he held on, and he knew that I was going to leave that and come to him. And I just, looking back, I can always feel him there. And I just, you know, when I think about my past, I think about like laying in a ditch with mud, you know, or you know, that's the way I just don't know how you could be dirtier. And, you know, he went into that ditch and got muddy with me and pulled me out. I mean, as well as all of us. But, you know, there's just no other comparison with no other religion. You know, and that's another thing with these Masons that say they've left and discuss it. You don't hear them talk about any other religion. They may bring up Egyptian stuff. But I mean Hindu or Buddhism or Islam, but buddy, they're ready to trash Christianity on a really conservative level. Oh, I respect it. It's a good thing, you know, because it's helped the West evolve. And well, but you know, Jesus, the 12 disciples, that's the 12 houses of the months. That to me is a clear sign that they're still in Freemasonry. When I hear that stuff, I mean, that's a typical dialogue. So, you know, it's sad that you just look into their eyes and I feel like there's just what was there is gone.
Okay, so what some of these supposed ex-Freemasons are really doing then is still pushing a Masonic agenda whilst pretending that they're out of it and not pushing that agenda. So it's complete disinformation that's still being fed by the same spirits, the same basic ancient mystery school religion.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mentioned before that that these lodges, the membership was really dying out. It's not dying, but it's got low. And a practice that they do that I did a lot from these large lodges, they'll send you out. You can be a co-member. They'll send you out to these small lodges to be a member of that lodge. And you'll meet there once a month. Of course, you don't have to. But on the books, these lodges are still, they still have the members that they need. And you can go back to doing what you're doing, you know, whatever lodge you're in. But a lot of these lodges, especially in these rural areas where we talked about before was the Porch Masons, there may be 12 or 13, if that, in them. And that's not enough for a lodge. And they, that's how they're still open. Because the, you know, these other lodges are helping them out this way. And I told you before that they give very little to charity. The big lodge that I belonged to in the city when I graduated from the Blue Lodge, less than 3% went to charity, and 0.3, and it went to Freemason charity, like the Freemason widows and stuff like that. They don't help anybody, you know. And the sad fact about these people is a lot were like me, and they know what they're doing is wrong, and they know Jesus is who he is. And as I mentioned, those are the ones they really work on. And I know that's what they did with me. But, you know, like I said before, when your family's there and these men are what you want to be, you want to be part of what they are. And when you've grew up in it, you know, they convince the way they, you know, just telling these stories like about the Garden of Eden and or the garden prison, as they call it, and they believe, or the way they tell this story, this fairy tale, is it's really good. I mean, it's good, and it's detailed, and you can, and again, they know the gospel. They know it, and they tell you this and pull this stuff out, and it's sometimes, especially when you're not saved and didn't have a strong Christian root grow, you know, in your youth, it's hard not to believe it. And, you know, I saw one comment and the guy said, you know, how could you believe that, you know, that Lucifer loved you or these angels when they, you know, they make you do all this stuff. Looking back, I would say that to somebody, you know, I'd say you're crazy, you know, to believe that. But it's so easy to believe that when everything around you points to that, and you've never seen anything negative on the form that you would be taught in church come from these beings. And, you know, I told you I had never seen any, I'd never had a visual experience of any demonic phenomenon, but I had experienced it. When I left and came out of it, I was in bed and I had my dog in bed with me. And I knew there was something in my house. I knew it. I could feel it. And I had felt it before, but it didn't feel like this. And I knew it was the same thing. I bought this camera, this digital camera, when I was still in Freemasonry. And they were encouraging this. Even my mother. And I started taking pictures. And I'm going to tell you, and I still have these. I have never seen, you know, you see people take pictures and there's orbs. Well, you've seen how hard it was for me to Skype with you. I don't even have it's got two batteries in it. The digital camera don't have a way to plug it into the computer. Just the pictures are on it. The orbs that showed up in this picture, or in these pictures I would take in this house, were hundreds. And in them, you could see faces. And, you know, I would think, oh, that looks like an old woman or a man. And I said, are you the one that built this house? I have an historic home. And I'd say, show up in that corner if it's a yes. And it would show up there. And this excited me to no end. And I said, oh, do you want me to, you know, show up there again if you want me to put you an antique bedroom suit in the bedroom upstairs and leave it alone? And it showed up there. And it was a week after that incident, when I mentioned the bedroom, I started having this, and I told you I was skirting the issue of making contracts with these things. It had just been brought up to me. That's the level I was at. And I woke up one morning and I had this metal taste in my mouth. And, it lasted about 12 hours. And I was, you know, again, I was in my mid-30s and healthy. And the next morning, I was brushing my teeth. And I tried to spit. And I noticed something wasn't right. I just noticed that my mouth wasn't working right. And, you know, I'm a man. And, you know, most people from where I'm from, you know, if you get cut, they'll say rub dirt in it. And obviously that's a joke. But I thought, well, whatever it is, it'll work out. So my mother and obviously I had to go to the emergency room once I told her. I thought I was having a stroke, and it started affecting my eye on my right side, and turns out it was Bell's palsy is what they diagnosed it as, and it did go away after a few weeks, but even when I had that, I was asking those things questions. I said, is this going to go away, show up here? In my heart of hearts, I believe that I brought that on myself. I know that sounds crazy. Maybe it don't. But the way that I was living my life in Freemasonry and this reaching out to these beings, even though I thought they were something else, I was convinced that they were people walking around with bow ties, you know, that were dead, and dresses, you know what I mean? And little girls that are stuck somewhere for 1,000 years. I was convinced of that. And I'd get so mad when I'd hear people say, that's demons pretending to be these. And I would think, you're crazy. And when I left, I was in bed with my dog, and I knew something was at my bedroom door. My dog's hair stood up from her neck. This is the scariest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. The dog's hair stood up, and she was growling, getting behind me. And she watched this thing, and I didn't have any lights on. And this thing, I never saw it, but I know there was something darker than the room there. And it came through the room, and the dog watched it, and said at the chair that was at the foot of my bed then, and the chair started rocking. So, I mean, you know, that nothing could convince me it wasn't what it was. And I mentioned to you that every pore in my body was telling me this thing wants to kill me because it's evil. I'd never, ever had that feeling before. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, even though I didn't tell the story, that I pictured this picture of Jesus with a mule that I can remember from the Sunday school of a revival that I went to, or a Bible school week when I was a kid with one of my friends. And I had that in my head and started saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave. And the chair flipped back, and the curtain and curtain rod fell off the window, that window. And that's when I said, if that name can do that, and I was already going toward him, pulling away, that nothing could ever convince me. I would die to stand up and say that there's nothing above that name. You know, that name is everything. So that's when it became aware to me just how dangerous a game that I was playing, you know, and it, I think about that a lot. You know, I believe I could have continued that path. And what if I would have had a car wreck, or, you know, I believe I'd be in hell. I believe that. And, you know, I told you that Masons do not believe that Lucifer is the devil, but they do believe there is a hell. They absolutely believe there is a hell. I think they know it for a fact, just like we do. When I said that Jehovah's Witness wrote that he was, you know, convinced that he was tickled to death, he got a whole generation of people to not believe in hell. I believe that's why they know to an extent. I believe, though I've not heard it said, but it's common sense from what I've experienced, that if you have already accepted Jesus or know who he is and what he did, and then you step away from that and worship Lucifer, which they really like, I believe that's how they believe somebody can go to hell. So that he would, well, you do it to yourself, but they believe he would damn somebody for that. But the rest he will take, and the ones for Lucifer he'll take, and the ones that didn't want him, that didn't know him, or that didn't get saved, those will be, they book, these idiots believe they'll be the slave class. And this event that they believe will happen, and I believe it will, there is a system set up, I'm sure, for people that are far from anybody like me, but people who are important or in politics or wealthy, I'm sure they have places to go. But every one of us had, even in this area, had places to go to, like old plantations out in the country that still had spring water or an orchard. Every one of these men that were in Scottish Rite, that I would say the 11th degree and the 21st degree are very important. If the ones that are over 11, they all had a place to go, all of us. And I had my old family home. It was abandoned, but I still, it still could have went there. And I was convinced and happy in my mind, as they were, that when whatever breaks out, they believe, and I might have mentioned this, that there will be a genocide. And a lot of it will be Christian people, but the majority is going to be these people that I mentioned before, these leftists.
Yeah, you did mention like the troublemakers, rioters, the useful idiot type of people.
You know, it's really sad because, you know, the stuff they do, I can't stand when they, you know, they voice their opinions with violence and criminal mischief. But, you know, if they just knew, and that they're following right along the plan they want them to, and their fate, and I'm convinced of this, is, like I said before, they're going to be the first ones rounded up, and people that they don't think, and this is not something I've actually heard. This is, to me, is, again, it's just common sense from whatever. People that they don't think can change or that can follow their system, or
the ones they can't re-educate, in other words.
People that, I guess, won't deny Christ. Those are going to be the first people to go. And Masons that know will all be in these places. I'm not saying all of them could be safe, but they'd have a little bit more protection than most people. And I was happy. I was convinced that, I didn't hear what I just told you. I didn't hear Christians were going to be I never heard that in a manner that alarmed me until probably 3 weeks before I left. And the what really affected me to come out when I said that I knew a little bit about Shriners, but I didn't, I didn't bring it up. This is gonna sound, and you can take this out if you choose to later, but this is gonna sound a little bit crazy, but this is true. They believe that the color of their hats is the color that Christian blood will be when those swords decapitate Christians. Wow. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't. That's that's pretty amazing.
I mean, I know, and you can see why I didn't just say that last time.
Yeah.
You know, that's, well, I hope that the people that, like last time, that are involved in this in any way, or that think about getting involved in it, I just, if only one hears it, but I think everybody needs to know this. I think everybody needs to know. And like I said before, I think they don't think people would believe it, but I think they want people to know it, because if you're warned about something, you know, all this online about Freemason conspiracy and Illuminati and all this stuff. And by the way, I never heard the word Illuminati until I got out of Freemasonry and started seeing what people knew. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying that I never heard that term, like flat earth. But, you know, if one person, just one person left, then all this would be worth it. And, you know, again, I talk too much. I jump. I'm sorry. But I feel like that my story is, I know it's unusual, and I know it's really far from what most people would hear. I tried to go into some of this stuff delicately because it is a little out there. But I feel like it's important that people know it. I feel like they need to know. But the warning, I think if they think you know it, I think that's somehow, I believe they want you to know this stuff. I think they want everybody to know it. Maybe not all those details, but I mean about this one world, you know, new world order that everybody, I think they want people to know that and expect.
Well, thank you for being on the A Minute to Midnight show again today, Jeremy. It's been great. Thank you so much for sharing what you have. And also, if people haven't heard your previous interview, I suggest they search that back through our channel as well and listen to it. It's also very much worth listening to.
You're welcome. It was good to be here.
And we'll have to do it again sometime because I'm sure there is still more for you to share that people will benefit from hearing.
That sounds great to me.
Folks, if you found that interview helpful, please remember to like it and share it if you're watching it on YouTube. And you can also find all of our shows, including this one, on iTunes and on our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And we have all our archives on aminutetomidnight.com as well. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. You can donate at the website, aminutetomidnight.com. This is pretty much full-time what I do. I have to say donations have been bringing in less than what is needed to keep it running lately. So if you can help, that would be very much appreciated. Not to make anyone feel guilty, but the reality is bills need to be paid and so on, and life goes on. I am aware that if God wants A Minute to Midnight to continue, he will provide, and if he doesn't, then it will come to an end, and that's just the way it goes. So if you want to help, then you can. And if not, then it's, like I say, it's in God's hands. So any help is greatly appreciated. And all the music is written, played, and recorded by me that's used in the shows. And if you want to download it, you can download it for free at the aminutetomidnight.com website as well. Hopefully we'll be back with another show in a few days' time. Until then, God bless and have a great week.